Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today I have Robert Wolf on the line, and he is founder of Terra Firma Business and Financial Consultants. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Adam. Glad to be here.
All right, Bob. So great to have you back on the show. For the audience that have been watching this for a long time, Bob is one of our was one of the authors that we've published and in the past, and we have some more work we're coming up with as well. But today's topic and what we'll get into is the new podcast that he just launched. So Farming Assets Podcast. I'm really excited about it and to do the distribution on our network. But to get this episode started, we'll start this one the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So Bob, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Bob, what mission matters to you?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Adam. At the end of the day, our mission is to help business owners become better at understanding the finance aspect of their business. And it's not teaching them how to run their business, but from how to utilize the tax code to their advantage.
Fantastic. Awesome. Great having you back on. And I've been waiting for this interview all week, Bob. I got to ask you, now that you're on the other side of the mic, right now you're the host. How do you feel?
Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. It, you know, it's a little bit empowering. Yeah. Maybe that could get to our head a little bit, but it's it is fun being part of looking at content and looking at what matters, right, to business owners, and being able to try to give them the content and the information to help them be better business owners in the sense of understanding my realm and my world.
Yeah. And I know that, and I'm glad you bring this up too, because sometimes people think about podcasting or things like that. And sometimes I don't want to say shy, like somebody doesn't have an expertise or can't, you know, get on stage and speak. I mean, more so people are kind of worried about the way they may be looked at, like, do I want to host a show? Do I want to be self-promotional? Do I want to, and all these things, like I've heard it all from people. And in my mind, I'm always thinking, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, the whole point is that you're an expert in your field. Like, there's other individuals, like, you cannot, it's impossible to talk to the amount of people that you can help through something like a podcast or whatever the media is, whether you're writing a blog, you're hosting a show on YouTube, whatever you're doing. We just happen to do podcasts. Like, getting that information out there is just, it's invaluable. Like, what was one of the reasons that you thought, you know, it's time to finally get this thing going? Like, let's get that podcast going. Like, what moved you forward?
Yeah, I think to your point is whether I'm comfortable with the title or the acknowledgement of being an expert in what I do. At the end of the day, that there is a certain aspect of expertise that I have more than a lot of the business owners, and the reason why they come to us. And so over a period of time, you have a certain amount of clients and advisors that we work with around the country that bring their clients to us. And so all of a sudden, that title of expert becomes part of who you are, yeah. Not in that it makes you better than somebody else, but that you actually have something to say and what most people want to hear. It's just, and you're a unique person, and everybody on all the podcasts that you guys host in your network, they're all unique. It doesn't mean that somebody else isn't doing what they're doing, but they have a unique perspective that God's given them the ability to view certain things a certain way. And there's value in that, in my opinion.
And to me, voice is very special. So you can interview, and I've seen this done before, because, you know, when we're researching guests or other things like that, like, from one interview to the next, whether it's the same guest, whether it's a different one, like, something changes. So you and I can do an interview tomorrow and there's going to be another like nugget or another piece of value that comes out of there that can help someone. So to me, it's like, it's not about like, hey, look at me or look at the host. It's about like creating that space for your guest and the host to have an interaction that's meaningful and that allows, you know, real dialogue and allows people to learn as well. I like to think of it like, okay, like you and I are, we're sitting down having a cup of coffee and the audience gets to listen in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, something's powerful about that. Like you say, there's that ability to have a dialogue back and forth. There's information. If we're trying to strive to be better in our own lives, others are doing the same. And so when you and I share in dialogue, like even before we started live, you and I were talking back and forth, and there's value in that relationship that actually transfers to other clients that I talk to or other people that you're going to interview as well.
Yeah. What's been one of your favorite parts about hosting the show so far? I know you're still early on, but what's been one of your favorite parts so far?
Yeah. Well, I've been doing a lot of content and videos and training and stuff for our clients, advisors, and some of the different programs that we offer. But going on a podcast is a lot different because, you know, when you listen to podcasts, right, there's different people of different expertise and experience, and to kind of go through that process is just a different avenue. We have a YouTube channel, but there's some people just love being in a podcast. Some people love being on a YouTube, and I absorb content in both, but a lot of people just like a singular. So it's a great way for me to be able to feel confident that there's somebody out there, maybe just one person, maybe that's my audience is one person. Thank you, Mom. And being able to share that information in the way they like to absorb information.
Oh, yeah. And I think about I'm glad you brought up Mom, because my mom, she's probably listening to more episodes than anybody else to me. And I'm like, thank you, Mom, as well. But the way I like to think of the podcast too is I feel like it's so personal, not just because it's audio, but the way I think of it is like, think about if, you know, 50 people are listening to your episode, 100 people, whatever the amount is. I don't care if there's 10 people listening to the episode, just period. Like if you were standing in front of 10 people and giving a speech or, you know, giving a training to your team, or if there's 50 people in the audience, or if there's 100 people listening to that, like that's a lot of people. Yeah. And there's also the quality and the individuals that you want to listen to it. So for your particular show, you have a very unique angle and type of content. So the listeners that are attracted to that content, I feel are going to get a ton of value out of it. And they get to benefit from your expertise and also your planning in the show overall.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you saying that. I think so too. And I don't know, it's the personal aspect of it is pretty powerful. And it's in a way it's very humbling, and it makes you want to be better with each episode that you produce.
And so this is a big question, and I don't want you have plenty of room. And I'll tell you one thing that I tell every podcaster that we produce: what your original concept for your show is will evolve over time, as will the content. I mean, and not necessarily that something as extreme as our brand. So for example, our first podcast was actually called Money Matters. It wasn't called Mission Matters. So our entire brand evolved into that. But in your case, I'd like to hear from you, like vision. What kind of vision do you have for the show? Like, what are some of the things that you hope to come out of it?
Yeah, I think short term, like you said, it's going to be organic. And that's because of the personal and the professionalism that you guys bring to being able to edit and give us the opportunity in the network that we have. But really is just to get information out there. And so farming assets, and the reason why we went with that title, farming assets, is being able to show our planning strategies and help educate business owners how assets are grown, just like normal farming, and how we grow a farm, orange trees or other crops, right? There, it takes nurturing, it takes blood, it takes tears, it takes a lot of energy and love and effort to get your crops to grow, to yield a result. And the same is true as a business owner. And I think business owners relate to that. And I think a lot of times we in the financial world, we lose sight of the fact of just being the mindset of a business owner. And so short-term farming assets is to kind of create that relatability. Long-term, I don't know what it's going to turn into. I'm excited about that.
I can tell you it's going to turn into some good things. That's what I know. And then farming, you're in Texas, right?
We are in Texas, yeah.
Come on, had to be farming assets. I saw that. Shout out to Aaron Alejandro, the executive director over at the Texas FFA. Speaking of Texas, we host their podcast, Growing Our Future. So another play on farming, right?
Awesome. Yes.
Awesome. So our Texas audience and our I feel like our crew out there is building. We're going to have to throw a big old launch party or some type of event for all our podcast hosts out there, get everybody together so they can meet.
That'd be great. Plenty of space for it.
Awesome. So I want to jump around a bit here. So I we covered the show, and we'll put links to the show on the show notes so that everybody can check it out. But just so everybody watching this knows, Farming Assets everywhere. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, like, I don't know, 30 different podcasts, players and networks. So you're all good there. So definitely listen to it, subscribe to it, and you're going to get a lot out of it. But I do want to go, speaking of your expertise, let's talk a little bit more about Terra Firma Business and Financial Consultants, because I know we've done some work and kind of talked a little bit about this in the past, but I don't want to assume that all our new listeners caught that. So first off, tell us a little bit more about your firm.
Yeah, no, thank you. So Terra Firma is really designed to be holistic. We wanted to be able to work with business owners and have a almost an unbiased viewpoint of how planning and financial planning should work, in the sense that we take a slant from a tax perspective. And not like traditional tax planners where they're looking at for deductions and tax strategies and, you know, what some people call loopholes. But we actually take a different slant of how the IRS views assets. And that's the reason why we talk about farming assets. And so at Terra Firma, our goal is to help business owners understand the value of their business and how to organize their various assets to be more tax efficient according to how the IRS views those assets. Hmm. And that's pretty much what we try to do on a day-to-day basis.
What type of clients do you find get the most value out of working with your team, whether it's, you know, size of company, organization, industry, niche, employee count? Like, how does somebody know if they're a good fit?
Well, first of all, it has to be somebody who wants help.
Yeah. All right. That's a good box to check. Let's not assume. Go ahead.
But once they've decided they want to help is really, honestly, the business owner who's looking to strive for their cash flow to take that next level. And what I mean by that is that we have a lot of business owners that come to us and, you know, they do 10, 20, 30, 40 plus million a year. They have regional CPA and law firms that work with them. Those really aren't our clients. They tend to be more difficult to work with, in the sense that it doesn't make them bad. There's just too many people. There's too many Indians, so to speak, and too many chiefs, right?
Yeah.
For us, it's a smaller business owner, the one who's trying to take that their business from this level to that. And it's not necessarily from a revenue perspective, but what their goals are. How do they want their cash flow to be more productive? And the type of business. So a doctor maybe have a certain type of revenue stream that could be the same as a manufacturer, but the doctor has higher margins because there's not a cost of goods to sell or in manufacturing in versus doctor versus manufacturing. So it really is based on their desire of how they want their cash flow. So that's really the key. So we have no specific industry. We have no specific investable assets. We talk to everybody. And based on the situation and our planning strategies, we have enough confidence in how we do business and how we plan that we can pretty much help most business owners that come to us. And if we can't, we'll tell you why we can't, and we'll strategize what steps we need to take to where we can. And so we'll help you in that avenue as well.
So as you start working with clients, and I don't want to generalize here or get, you know, too nuanced, because we can't, like, everybody's situation is going to be different. We can't give out obviously general tax advice, not that you ever would, but I know that not like this, but I know that, you know, over time working with many, many clients as you have, like, certain themes tend to arise. Are there certain things that, like, you just find, like, over and over and over again, you know, business owners kind of miss, or their team kind of miss, where there's just that kind of immediate value add at times?
Yeah, I think the best way to answer that is from a human nature perspective. In your human nature, as a business owner, you want your business to thrive, and you're looking at revenue, and you're looking at how you want to profit from that revenue. And as a business owner, you draw income out of your business and that cash flow to live your lifestyle. And then all of a sudden you start making a certain amount of money and you're like, wow, we got extra money each year. We need to put that someplace. Where do we put it? And you may do a little research. You may ask your buddies at the club. You may ask the people that you get together at Bible study or whatever. And they say, oh, you know, we do real estate. Right? You should talk to this guy. He's great. And so all of a sudden they start going down that pathway, or investing in stocks or whatever it is. They have a little extra money and they go do that. And then all of a sudden they have that. And now they're like, well, now what do we do? We have that. What do we do with that? And and so then they have a little extra money because of that. And then they try to do something else. And what it comes to play, Adam, which is really interesting. You don't think about this, but in most businesses, you put a business plan together or goals for the year. Mm-hmm. But business owners don't do that with the rest of what they're trying to accomplish in their personal assets. They just accumulate, but there's no plan to the accumulation. And based on how IRS taxes those assets in that accumulation, business owners are allowing too much to leak out in taxes that they don't have to. It's not that they're looking for tax loopholes. It's just they're not managed the right way and organized the right way. And that's really kind of what ends up happening. And before long, they're like, well, I made a mistake. No, you didn't make any mistakes. You just didn't have a plan. So let's just create a plan and let's organize and let's make this a real plan and grow your wealth.
How do you feel that you're different than other, let's say, tax and financial professionals?
Yeah. So that's a good question. I think we kind of been tapping into that a little bit is when I started researching the tax code and tax strategies. And as a financial advisor and insurance professional, as a background over the last 20 years, we're taught certain things and we're approached certain things. And there's a lot of really smart people that have really smart strategies. Mm-hmm. And my focus was always, how do I get these strategies to work with each other? Right. Yeah. And so as rather than saying, oh, mine is better than yours, right? Or you should do this and not do this. And you see that in real estate. You see that in investing in the stock market, or you see that in this or that, right? Everybody, if my thing is the best. And the reality is they're all tools. They're all assets. And so when I was studying the tax code, I was really kind of seeing the IRS from a different perspective, not as deductions and traditional tax strategies, but back again to the asset. How's the IRS view that asset from the three stages that each asset goes through, and how do they tax that? Mm-hmm. And so going through that process, I realized there's three basic tax efficient assets, very boring, very vanilla. And which I found from that, we call it the asset buddy system, that the IRS, the boring it is, the more tax benefits because they have more application to real world. So you don't have to be creative. Just be boring. Vanilla, right? Vanilla ice cream, you can put anything on it and it tastes good and it's different for each person. And when you look at it from the IRS's perspective and our opinion, my opinion, there's more opportunity with that. And therefore your tax strategies run in line with the IRS. Mm-hmm. So everybody's worried about tax savings and the auditing. Well, if you're vanilla, what are they going to audit? You're just doing random stuff. It's just the organization of them. Yeah. So that's really what makes us a little bit different than other people is just our viewpoint of how we look at it. Because then it allows us to work with really anyone, any CPA, any bookkeeper, any tax attorney, right? We can work with all these different professionals because our organization and our plan of the planning process goes in line and allows them to do what they do and us to do what we do.
Yeah. And I think this is a good point too. So what you're saying that you can work with them. So it's not saying that you necessarily have to replace them. Like that's not what you're proposing. You're saying, hey, we're the specialists that are like another layer above. And what I mean by above is that, you know, your CPA and the person that's doing your day-to-day bookkeeping, like they got enough work to do. They're not sitting here trying to figure out the next tax strategy that you're going to benefit from. Like they're just trying to keep you compliant and keep the wheels turning, right? But that's where your firm comes in as a real specialist. Like you don't have to replace. Am I understanding that right?
That's absolutely exactly accurate. And the reason being that that's so important is that you look at the wealthy. Mm-hmm. The wealthy have tax teams.
Yeah.
The reason being is that you and I can only know so much. Though the brain is a powerful tool, there's only so much that we can understand and know.
Well, unless you're listening to the Farming Assets podcast.
That's right.
I mean, it's limitless. Go ahead, sir.
The brain's working so hard, the hair's popping out of the scalp. No, it's when you look at that from the wealthy and the tax teams is that everyone has value. And I think the collective value is what the business owner is looking for. And I think if you have a team that can work well with each other, I think that means all egos are left at the door. Yeah. And it's now about the client and how to be client centric. And I think that's the value of success right there, is how can you take off and leave your ego and your pride at the door and make everything about your client and what they want and what they need.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's great info and it's a great service. And I feel like many can benefit from it. What does an engagement look like? And I don't mean like price or anything like that. I mean, yeah. Like, how does it typically work? So let's say somebody's watching this, they're going to follow up and they're like, hey, I want to get to know more. Like, tell us a little bit more about the process.
Yeah. The first thing we go through our very basic introduction and we call it our cash flow recovery process. And the cash flow recovery is just some basic questions. Like, for example, Adam, do you feel like you're overpaying in federal taxes?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I do. Do you know by how much? Mm. No, I don't. All right. Well, if we could show you by how much, would you want to know that? Yeah. Well, yeah. And if we found that and we were able to take that tax savings and grow it, would you want more taxable income or tax-free income?
Mm.
Tax-free, right? Those are the first four questions we ask everybody.
Yeah.
Then we'll dive into what we call our tax savings formula.
Mm.
And it's just a basic conversation of getting to know the business owner, what their income, what their spending habits are. We don't care what they spend their money on. It's their money, right, Adam? You work hard for your money. Last thing you want someone is to tell you can't spend it.
Yeah.
Right.
I spent my money on the podcast network. It's okay. Go ahead.
Right. You're watching it right now.
I spent it on launching shows. Go ahead.
I thought I saw dollar signs flying across. That's Adam's money. No, in all seriousness, is trying to figure out what's it mean to them that they're overpaying in federal taxes and what that number is. And that's really the first conversation. So it's about a half hour. And if we can help them and the client sees value, great. We'll talk about engagement and doing a little more in depth. If the client's like, oh, okay. I don't think I need you. Okay, great. Yeah. Appreciate the time. It was good talking to you. So that's pretty much it.
It's awesome. It's great stuff. Well, Bob, I know you and I can get going and go all day. But we're about out of time for this episode. So that being said, just have to ask, what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for your firm?
Yeah. So, I mean, for us, is we're diving into tax planning season, right? Yeah. The year end's coming and people are now starting to take a look at their situation, their financials, and they're doing better than they thought they were, or maybe they're doing worse. And how do they allow that to be beneficial to them? And so we're rolling through the end of the year and working with the folks that we are all over the country that we do. And just the goal is to bring more value the more clients we work with and talk to. Do we have goals for our business? Of course. And our goals are really to help as many business owners as we can. It sounds silly and corny and cheesy, but at the end of the day, that's really what we're focused on. And we don't care about all the other stuff. It's all that doesn't mean anything unless we can help one client, one business owner at a time.
Perfect. And if somebody wants to follow up and learn more, how do they do that?
Yeah. So we have different avenues. So they can go to our LinkedIn. LinkedIn is Asset Coach Tax Strategist. They're welcome to go email me directly at rwolf@terrafirmaconsultantsllc.com. They're welcome to reach out to us on subscribe to the podcast, of course.
Farming assets. Come on.
We've got a YouTube channel, Asset Coach and Tax Strategist. You can message us there if you want to. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/terrafirmaconsultants. Mm-hmm. So many different avenues.
Awesome. And we'll put some of that information in the show notes so that our audience can just click on the links and head right on over. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time engaging with or listening to a Mission Matters episode, we're all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, experts, having them share their mission, you know, why they do what they do, how they're doing it, and really what can we all learn from it, right? So we all grow together. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or engaging to you, hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based individuals coming up, and we don't want you to miss a thing. Bob, as always, it's been a pleasure. I'm thrilled to watch your show continue to grow, and I wish you much more continued success.
Thanks, Adam, and I appreciate your guys' support and the efforts that you guys put into us as well.